Davy Crockett told him back east, "You may all go to hell, and I will go to Texas." Here's a guy that thinks Davy got it right. It's Pratt on Texas with Robert Pratt.
I want to ask you a question. I read this big Joel Stein piece that Bloomberg had out on you, a pretty major piece on you in the last week or so. And one of the things I noted, you're a reader of philosophy. And if you are, then you likely understand there's actually very little new. There's very little new that happens with people and how all the things we worry about. It's how the deck chairs are ordered. So what is it that's ordered differently today that requires the outrageous to counter outrage?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad we got to have a chat at last. The interesting thing for me is how abruptly and how recently the political architecture in America has changed. You're quite right to say nothing's new. There are always people who want to control you. There are always people who want to enlarge the size of the government, control what you can say, do, and think, you know, the guns you can shoot, all that kind of stuff. And it's only really been in the last 10 years that the people who want to control culture, that's like the movies you watch, the books you read, the video games you play, it's only really been in the last 10 years that the left has started to be the bad guys there. Now, we all have friends who are Christians, who are religious, some of us are Christians, but we don't have a great track record on this subject, on the political right. We're not unblemished. You know, in the 90s, lots of religious people were making quite wild claims about what video games and music were driving kids
well,
to do. And
they were, Vice President and they were, Al you know, Gore's Vice President Al Gore's wife, Tipper Gore, was a big leader on this limiting what music albums people could buy, even from the Southern Democratic left.
She absolutely was. And, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around on this.
Sure.
It does seem, however, that more recently in the last 10 years, it is almost exclusively the left, the progressive,
right,
social justice, feminist, Black Lives Matter left, that are seeking to control all aspects of the culture. And the guy that founded the site I work for, Andrew Breitbart, used to say that politics is downstream from culture. You're talking about policies and you know, elections you've already lost. That is treating the symptoms. And to cure the disease, you have to look at the culture. That's movies, music, art, entertainment. And the left owns all that stuff and is now trying to police what the rest of us get to listen to, how we get to speak, even the language we use.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
And that's been a relatively recent change. So it's true, as you say, there's nothing new on God's earth. But one of the things that's been interesting is that, you know, the left, which used to be associated with free expression.
Outrageous, exactly,
is now, but they're becoming the scolds and the nannies now. Now, if you want to be a punk, you want to be dissident, you want to be mischievous and subversive, you want to do all the great things that art is supposed to do, you got to be a Republican.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's a stretch, but the point is well made. Let me just, the way I've been talking about it for the last 20 years or so, and it really hit me about a decade ago, decade and a half ago, in a similar thing. You're talking about cultural issues. I'm going to talk about it at a broader level. Being actually educated, you understand the Enlightenment, what it's all about. I mean, in Britain, we have universities that are older than any of the countries that exist. Even older than the Aztec Empire in Mexico, you know.
Well, one of my colleges was built in 1412.
Right.
There wasn't much of an America in 1412.
Exactly. And here's the point, though. I have said for a long time, particularly let's talk about science, because the same thing's going on with the politics and science, that the new dogmatists are the science, are the people claiming the title of science. In other words, the Enlightenment has flipped on its head. It appears that the mainline religion, churches, and conservative, more traditional people have been the ones open to reasoned argument and to evaluating new ideas, and even in many cases, even where I think it's very wrong, even changing their doctrine in the church to fit new things, whereas it's the folks claiming the title of the Enlightenment who are the new dogmatists in society.
I couldn't agree with you more, and it's very interesting to watch. You know, you can see it sometimes filtered down into journalism, which is, of course, my
right.
business, so that's where I tend to see things first. And you know, there's this great trend in liberal journalism of fact-checking, you know, like the Washington Post does it, CNN does it, and it's sort of like, it's nakedly partisan, political
point
scoring. dressed up as, you know, as rigorous fact-checking. And, yes, you know, it's very, very strange. You know, you listen to how these people talk about climate change. Listen to how these people talk about the transgender issue. And you hear them, and they sound like preachers. And there's nothing wrong with preachers, but it's interesting that they, you know,
it's dogmatic.
It is dogmatic. It is. It's exactly what it is. You know, and preachers don't make any claim to, you know, being open to new interpretations of the facts. Religion is religion, and you either want to get to heaven or you don't. But these guys say they're all about the scientific method. They will go wherever the evidence leads them. That's a completely different vision of how the, of how we come to know things and the way the world is ordered. You know, just following the science and looking at the facts and coming to evidence-based conclusions. That's something quite different from giving a sermon on a Sunday. And these people, you know, who claim that they're just going to look at what's happening in the world and be drawn to whatever conclusion that points them towards, they're liars. That's not what they do. That's not what they do.
No, absolutely. They drum people out of their profession. They isolate them because they even question, even when it's an obvious issue of science, where anyone with a brain would question it. You know, whether they're constantly restating numbers from history but not giving us the reasons why. Well, you don't do that unless you explain it, and you're not a scientist if you're unwilling to explain and justify the method and let everyone argue over whether that's a legitimate change or not. Let me switch gears. We're talking with Milo Yiannopoulos. He is a technology editor, I think, for Breitbart. And
that's right.
You know him in the U.S. for his rather flamboyant style in going to college campuses and scaring the hell out of these little I don't come from that background, so I don't understand how these people need what they call safe places and spaces and all this other weird stuff. To me, it's so incredibly foreign from any of the culture I know, but I see it, read it every day. What is it you hope to accomplish with your campus appearances?
Well, America is supposed to be the freest nation on earth. You know, it's the only country with, you know, anything like the First Amendment. And it still is the freest nation on earth. But it's also the most important country on the planet, because without America, the rest of us are screwed, frankly. Now, America's universities have gone off the rails. They are turning into places that are saturated with therapy culture. The idea that students should go and that instead of being challenged, instead of being thrown into the deep end, made to feel uncomfortable, forced to evaluate their preconceptions, to learn more about the world. Instead, these places are becoming homes from home where students are insulated from new ideas and where students are told that, you know, that offense-taking, grievance, and victimhood are valid forms of argument rather than logic and reason. You know, and if you think that's over the top, just look at some of the videos that have been coming out from even America's best universities. Yale, last October.
Yeah, they're not our best universities.
Halloween.
They're not our best universities anymore. You know,
well,
they are
not
by reputation,
they're
but
not
they're not.
That's
and the
true.
Same thing has happened in some of the colleges in Cambridge and in Oxford and other places in England. It's worse.
True.
It seems to be worse here. You know, one of the things being a Brit, I wish you would tell people, I do this all day long, so I'm tired of reading what happens here. So I read British, I read the British press at night, kind of to relax, and I listen to BBC local Cambridgeshire almost every morning of their afternoon show. And I just listen to these things kind of to get a different thing. I listen to a lot of Australia out of Perth and places. One of the things people here don't realize, in Britain now, if you insult someone or it was hate speech, the local constabulary can actually open an investigation against you for criminal charges. Because of opinion you expressed. This is not some radical Russian thing. This is going on in the mother country where Magna Carta comes from.
Absolutely. And, you know, there is no reason to suppose that America is immune from this stuff. There's
We're
no
not.
Reason to suppose that America is going to escape scot-free from this stuff. You have policemen, constabulary in Nottingham in England saying that misogyny is now going to be a crime. Well, that's very much in the eye of the beholder. I mean, somebody cracks a joke that some woman somewhere perceives as sexist and says she's offended about it, and that guy's hauled into the police station. In Scotland, like in Canada, which is just as crazy, you know, in Scotland, the police are sending these messages out on Twitter saying, be careful of offending anyone because we're watching. This is ridiculous. The idea that you can't upset somebody, you know, that you can't be mean or catty or vicious. I mean, gay men are screwed as well. You know, the idea that you can't crack a joke for fear of being taken in by the police just because somebody said, even if they weren't offended, even if they don't care, but just because they said they were offended. That is such It is open to so many abuses.
And it's
and
incompatible. It is incompatible with any form of freedom. You know, a lot of the young people tend to want government and they want the nanny state, but they want freedom in the sense that they ought to be able to do anything they want to do without moral judgment or any, they hate judgment. You know, judgment's bad. They want all this so-called freedom. I think it's libertinism. But, you know, they want to live as libertines, but they want a strong state. They don't seem to understand. And is this something you're trying to get them to understand in this college tour that these positions are incompatible? All this afraid of speech stuff and regulating what people say is incompatible with any form of freedom.
Absolutely. Young people, you know, the millennial generation, on the one hand, which is it's a good thing, you know, they are the least sexist, least racist, least homophobic generation in the history of the species. Now, on the other hand, they are also the most socially liberal and permissive and, as you say, I think, libertine generation. Now, I don't have a huge problem with that. Some people are going to have a problem with that. But what they don't understand, exactly as you say, is that you cannot want those things and at the same time advocate for a big state, because the bigger the government, the more they're going to want to regulate every single aspect of your lives. And this is not an exaggeration. We live in this in Europe. You know, we have this in Europe. We live through it. Petty laws and restrictions and endless red tape, we call it. You know, the bureaucracy of endless, you know, new branches of government invented to just come up with new ways to control you. That is not some kind of, like, Republican conspiracy or sort of feverish conservative imaginings.
It's
That's
reality
in most of the world. Not even in some parts of the world. In most of the world, that's the reality. And I don't want America to become like that, because America is better than that. It's remarkable to me that it takes a Brit to come over here and remind people, you know, just of how good you have it here. But these students don't understand, you're absolutely right, that you cannot have, you know, a desire for freedom, however you choose to use that freedom. And, you know, you might choose to use that freedom to become a pastor, or you might use that freedom to become, you know, a prostitute. And you have to live with, you know, you're answerable to yourself and to God for your life choices, right? But you cannot have that freedom and at the same time want the government to replace your parents and become this sort of overarching, controlling presence in your lives. Nor can you, you know, appeal to it as a sort of, you know, as a replacement for your parents. It's remarkable.
Very good. Milo Yiannopoulos, he's with Breitbart, and we appreciate the time. And I just want to leave you with this. Happy Brexit.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. What a great thing. Finally, wresting a bit of control back from unaccountable, completely incompetent international globalist elites. What a wonderful day. That was great. Well, thank you,
it
sir.
It is a great day, and we celebrated with you, my friend, in spirit. Milo Yiannopoulos of Breitbart, thanks a lot. We'll cut you loose, let you get on down the road, my friends. This is Pratt on Texas.
Meet up with other Pratt on Texas listeners on Facebook. Username Pratt on Texas.